Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe McGee. We're in the middle of talking about questions to think about. You know, I realized something when I started, we got into Bible school and started listening and reading teachings about Jesus and going through the Bible and then getting my theology degree. You realize something. Jesus spent a lot of time asking questions. He always seemed to answer, he'd answer a question with a question. Now, I'll give you a few pointers here. Matthew 26, verse 6. When Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as she was reclining at the table, or as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. They're mad. "Why this waste?" they said. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." It make you feel bad, too. Hey, that was a waste. We could help the poor. And so, aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you buying this woman? So what are you buying her for?" And so when Jesus, he's always asking a question to a question. "What are you doing? Why are you asking? What are you doing? Why are you asking?" It's like I've been in business for a number of years, 12 years. I was in the electrical business, worked for three different companies, been on two different church staffs that I love dearly. But there's always meetings. There was planning. There was problem solving. There was confronting that was involved. We're working with humans. And I realized something. You need to always stay calm when you're talking to somebody. You know, be still and know that I'm God. Don't ever get in a hurry. Stay calm. But the best thing you'll ever do when you got somebody that's maybe they've done something wrong, they've done something illegal, immoral, unethical, whatever, you start confronting. You need to, instead of accusing, you just ask questions. "Now, what is it that's happened here?" And I said, "Well, whatever." "Well, why was it you did that?" "I don't know." What were you thinking when you did that?" "Well, I thought I'd fix something." "Well, did you fix it?" "No." "Well, what do you think the problem was?" And I realized when you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was always answering questions with a question. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus was looking at some people, and Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking those things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He was always answering a question with a question. Mark 4, verse 10, when Jesus was alone with the 12 and the others around him, they asked him about the parables. Then Jesus said to him, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" Answer the question with a question. Mark chapter 7, verse 17. After this, he left the crowd, entered into the house. The disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" He's asking questions. Jesus always, without exception, answered a question with a question. So I'm thinking as a parent, as a boss, as a mentor, you're trying to get people to think. I'm not trying to dictate to you. I'm not saying, "You'd better do this, I'll fire you. You better do this, I'm going to ground you. You better do this, I'm going to scold you. You better do this, and you're going to go to bed without your supper." Threatening never got anything. Jesus never threatened. What he's trying to do is get people to think for themselves. He's trying to get people to think for themselves. So we're talking about laws of success. How do you succeed in life? Well, we talked about now in that last class, we did this thing. It's like, what do you want? You know, that's a great question to ask your kid or an employee or your employer. What is it you want? I'm trying to please you. What do you want? And make them think a minute. Just get it down one sentence. What do you want? Why do you want that? And that's this is like a father talking to his kids. Now, I have six adult children. I've got adult son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. you get the best results when you ask them, what do you want? Why do you want it? How can I help you do it? When do you want it? You want it? Well, when do you want it? Now? Next week? Next month? You got a plan? Do you have a plan to get it? What's your plan? Because I like to help you, but what's your plan? I can help you, but I can't help you do nothing. I cannot help you do nothing. I can help you do whatever you got a plan to do. So what's the plan? And then we talked about the last thing in that last class. What's it going to cost you? What's it going to cost you? You know, today we're going to pick that up. So the last question we asked in that last class, what's it going to cost you? Do you know what it's going to cost you to try to get this job, to get this scholarship, to get into this college? What's it going to cost you to get on this team? You got to maybe go to summer school and take some extra classes. You got to, if you want to go out for basketball, you can get some B-League teams in the summertime and get on some teams and travel with them. We did that with some of our kids. Are you willing? This is the next best question. Are you willing to pay the price? I shared a story last time about my daughter thought she wanted to be a cheerleader when she was a very good basketball player. And she realized 1 week into it, they practice at 6 o'clock every morning. And I've shared before, basketball has a season. Baseball has a season. Cheerleading has no season. It's year round. And so I told her, I said, do you understand? Yes, Dad, I want it. Yes, I can do it. I'm going to do it. Well, I'm the guy that's got to drive you to school. I'm the one that's got to get up at 5 o'clock to get you to school by 6 o'clock to practice to be a cheerleader. I'm your dad. I love you. I want to help you. But are you aware of the cost? And are you willing to pay it? So my daughter got about 1 week into it. She said, Dad, I don't want to do this. I said, no, you're committed for a year. I told you, whenever you sign up for something, minimum of 1 year. And she did, and she finished it. So are you willing to pay the price? The next step is, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? I mean, we talk about we're going to go to cheerleaders. Well, you're going to have to practice. They practice at 6 o'clock, you know. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to sign up for it. Well, good. You're going to sign up for it. Well, what are you going to do to get it? Well, you're going to have to get up at 5 a.m. You don't get up anymore at 6:30. You're going to get up an hour and a half earlier than everybody else. Still put in a long day at school. Still practice basketball every evening real late. Still come home for dinner late. You still got to do science fair projects and study for tests and book reports. Your life is about to get busy. What are you going to do? What's your next step? And will you do it? Will you do what it takes to get there? Now, I like this one. I asked my kids, said, hey, how do you know if you're succeeding? You said you wanted to do this. You said you wanted to go out for basketball. And you're going out for basketball, and you're going to your practice. The son, one time, he would say he wanted to go out for football. I said, well, that'd be great. And so he realized he was not the greatest football player. You know, he's getting passed over. He's sitting on the bench a lot during the game. He'd get in every now and then, but only if he got far ahead. And so I remember in summer for his senior year, he did the same thing, came in. I sure would be glad when these seniors graduate because I'm going to get me a spot on that team. I said, well, son, you need to understand something. These seniors may be graduating. You're a junior, but there's a lot of sophomores coming behind you that play better than you do. So, son, you have a lot of gifts. Football's not one of them. I love you. You're my son. You're real diligent in everything you do. You're a great baseball player, but you're not that good of a football player. He said, well, I want to make that team. I said, well, son, if you want to make that team, you're going to have to do something extra. You're going to have to go the second mile. You have to go above and beyond. And so you need to sign up for some summer camps. And there are three universities in our area that had summer camp, week-long summer camps that summer. Two state schools, one private school. I said, you need to sign up. I'll pay for it. You need to sign up and go to summer camp. Football summer camp at the local colleges. They have them all over the country, but just three, there are three. So my son did. He went to three different summer camps at three different universities in our area to get better at football. Well, when he came back for his senior year, he kind of shocked a lot of the coaches. He made the team. Not only did he make the team, but they named him one of the captains. They went undefeated. Now, how'd you do that? You had to do something extra. You can't just show up. How bad do you want this? Will you go the second mile? Somebody asks you 1 mile, will you go two? If that's for your shirt, will you give me your coat? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? And how do you know you're making it? And so my son, he said, well, I remember when he graduated, the coach was a phenomenal man, you know, had been very successful in pro football, and he gave a speech for the graduating class and said, you know, I've had three things that really impressed me, three people that impressed me in my life. One of them happened to be my son. He said, when he came out for football, he didn't know how to put on his uniform. He spent more time looking out his ear hole than in front of his mask. He's getting slapped around a lot. And so, but his senior year, I was shocked when he came back for his senior year, how much weight he'd lost, how strong he got, because he stayed in the weight room all summer, went to three different camps. He improved himself. And so people noticed. And that's how he got named one of the captains, how they went undefeated. He was willing to pay the price. And I don't think my son still watched the football game on TV. It wasn't that he fell in love with football. He decided, I want this. I want this. Well, how are you going to measure? Well, I'll make the team. I got named one of the captains. We went undefeated. He still gives testimony about it. What'd you do? Well, I measured my progress. I ask this. This is a great question. How will you know you have it? How will you know you have it? Well, for my son in football, you know, there's graduation. When the guest speaker, the former NFL coach, mentioned him and honored him for all that he achieved. So I got a verbal confirmation in front of all my fellow students that I'd done something. My daughter, when she got into college on a scholarship, she realized something. What are you doing? Well, I have a scholarship. I don't have to write a check. Somebody's paying me for all the work I did, for the sacrifice I made. I'm being paid. Payday doesn't come every Friday, but it will come if you're willing to pay the price. So how do you know when you achieved it? And so the last one's kind of really important. What level of success are you willing to accept? Because the higher somebody once said, higher level, bigger devil. Most people think, man, if I can just get there, I'll be happy. No, when you get to that level, there's going to be new opposition that you've never seen before. You know, there's always new opposition. Higher up you go, the bigger the devil, the bigger the opposition. Are you willing to pay the price? Now, some people we admire because they used to collect biographies from high school students. All the people that became millionaires and billionaires in life. How'd you do that? I overcame. You know, we talk about the Winston Churchills. We talk about the people that Edison invented the light bulb. You know, we talk about the people that just fell in their space a lot. The one young man that Edison gets kicked out of school in the fourth grade. He's 12 years old. His teacher told him he's too stupid to learn anything. And so all of a sudden he realizes, no, I know I can do something. And so this fourth grade dropout that was hit upside the head with a 2x4 by a foreman on a railroad train one night went pretty much deaf. So a pretty much deaf fourth grade dropout, you know, has over 1,000 patents to his name. Did he go to college? No, but he's got 1,000 patents to his name. It's a heart issue. You know, where the heart is, as a man thinks his heart, so is he. As a child thinks his heart, so is he. Are you willing to think? And many times the school system doesn't allow them to think. I'll tell you what to think. I'll tell you where you're going to go. I'll tell you what you're going to study. I'll tell you what you're going to do. Well, what do you think? You know, can you think for yourself? I want you to learn how to think. And so what happens is, what level of success are you willing to accept? How high up are you willing to go? I remember when Henry Ford, Ford Motor Company, you know, went bankrupt twice trying to invent an automobile in his garage. Well, he finally made it, you know. 1929, the Ford Motor Company had like 75,000 employees. I mean, how did you get there? Well, no, we're not. I went bankrupt twice, fell on my face, scooped dirt with my lower lip. Are you willing to get back up? Are you willing to build something? How big can you build it? You know, it's not just the size. What are you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to provide automobiles for the American public. Of course, you know, the first automobiles they made, they're all the same color and the same size. There wasn't a variety, but people still bought them. And then they begin to get, you know, variety in different shapes, different colors, different kinds, different names. And so how much are you willing to pay? What are you willing to accept? Can you accept that? No, I just want this, no more. Just me and my wife, my two children, us four, no more. And there are many people on the level of success. And you used to have when I was in college, you have the 10 levels of success. And most people hit the fourth one. They finally realize, okay, I'm not broke anymore. I have a skill. I've made money with it. I built a company. I'm getting good paychecks every Christmas, and I'm happy. And most people will sit down at level four. They never get to level five. Wow, I'm happy right here. And there's nothing wrong with it. That's not a sin. It's just like, what are you willing to accept? Because the next level you go to, there are problems you didn't know existed. There are challenges you've never seen at your level. You go to the next level, there's going to be newer challenges. Are you willing to accept that? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to get through it? And so I walk with my kids every year talking about, what do you want to do? And I did it before they went to college. And I asked them, where do you want to go to college? Why? What's it going to cost to get in there? Because they were all private colleges. How do you plan to get in there? Well, you need to get a real good score on your ACT test, because they give scholarships for people that have good grades, or they give scholarships to people that are good athletes and soccer players and basketball players and baseball players. You get scholarships. Where's the free money at? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Where's that free money at? So you got to go chase it. What price are you willing to pay? So we kind of just rehash this, you know. Are you willing to pay the price, number one, for just this second series? You know, if you're willing to pay the price, then what's the next step you're going to take? Because it's not written in a book somewhere. If you want to be the owner of your company, not just employee, what's it going to take to buy that company? And you're going to get overwhelmed when you get the number. Well, I can't afford that. Nobody can afford it. Are you willing to pay the price to get it, though? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? And when will you do it? You know, well, I'm going to do it one day. No, that'll never happen. One day never comes. What are you willing to do today? What step are you willing to take right now today to make that happen? How are you going to measure it? How do you know you're making progress? Well, I'm busier than I've ever been. Well, that's good. Have you got some way of measuring? Well, you know, we were making one, two before a day last year. We're making two this year. Well, that's progress. We can measure that. Your income, it's double from last year. That's progress. We can measure that. How do you measure your progress? Where are you headed? How do you know when you're going to get there? It's like, what do you know you're going to have? When will you know? What day? What are you going to see? The day you get up and say, hey, I've made it. How do you know that? What is it you're looking for that's going to tell you, I made it? There'll be a paycheck, the number of employees, what you're doing. Because whatever you're doing, there will always be opposition. The one thing you learn about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus, who never sinned, had opposition every day of his life. Jesus, who never sinned, it says in the Bible, Mark said he had enemies, he had critics, he had people that wanted him dead. What did he do to deserve that? Nothing. He was the same. He's the same guy that for 30 years owned the debt on the local Home Depot. He owned his dad's carpenter shop. Everybody bought furniture from him. But the day he realized, I'm the Son of God, he met that camel hair bucket and Baptist in the wilderness, and John the Baptist dunked him on the water, and he spends 40 days in the wilderness and squares off against the devil. It is written, it is written, it is written. He was willing to go to the next level. It's like, and he told the disciples, I've come here to die. I've come here to buy back everybody's salvation. Because I don't deserve to die. I've never sinned, but I'm going to pay your price, which you should pay. I'm going to pay. And it's our faith in what he did, not what we did. Our faith in what he did that got us saved. So you got a plan? How are you going to know when you've achieved it? And are you willing to accept what it's going to take? Jesus is willing to do that. Jesus became responsible for something that wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault that Adam and Eve got fired from the job, evicted from the house, kids started killing each other. It wasn't his fault, but he was willing to do it. He was willing to pay the price. And so Jesus said, the things I do will you do also, and even greater things than these will you do. So you got to ask questions. Whether you're a parent, whether you're a pastor, whether you're an employer, employee, up and down, you got to be willing to ask questions. What are we doing? Are we thinking about this? Again, the Bible says, think on these things, whatever is lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy, good report. Think on these things. Don't think on those other things. Keep your mind fixed on God and on the Word of God. You know, Peter went walking on the water. He's the only one of the 12 that did. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked in that water. The minute he got his eyes off Jesus and on the waves, he sank like a rock. And what Jesus said when he finally got to him, said, man, I'm proud of you. At least the other 11, they didn't get out of the boat. At least you got out of the boat. No, Jesus said, ye of little faith. People that know you expect more out of you. We're going to grow in the things of God. The Bible says we're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day. The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times a day, but they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. Let's just shoot for the moon, guys. Let's do everything we can. You don't want to get to heaven and say, man, if I could go back, I'd do it different. Let's just do it different now. Let's help everybody we can, love everybody we can, be blessed to everybody we can. Let's leave everybody better than we find them in Jesus' name. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.